Shroom Tech.
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really good.
What, hallucinogenic or just...
No. just like... Well, that's the immune. That's the Shroom Tech immune.
Different shrooms.
Yeah. I used to take that whenever I was traveling. Keep my immune system up.
Oh, really?
It is really good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you get ill when you travel? Aircon and stuff?
Just aircon and just, you know, different environments, different airports.
You always get the sniffles, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I got the first COVID, travelling back from New Zealand.
No, was it?
Yeah. Was that Hooker against Felder? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But these keep you safe.
Eh?
These keep
they
you
do,
safe.
Honestly, they do. Yeah, they are good.
There you go, from the centre.
See, you can do the sponsor reads. Look at you. You're going to have to move that a bit closer, I reckon.
Shroom Tech. Keep your immune system strong. Don't get COVID like Dan Hardy.
Yeah, for real. I was traveling back from New Zealand. And I remember because I came through Abu Dhabi. And everybody was wearing a mask. And like, there's normally a lot of people at airports wearing a mask. I'm like walking around like, what the fuck? I even tweeted out like, these fucking dickheads all wearing masks or something. Just, like, a lot of people wearing dust masks, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I remember tweeting it. And then when I got back to the UK, there was this kind of mild conversation about COVID.
Right.
And then I flew out to Brazil.
So that long before, was it?
Yeah.
So basically you were patient zero.
Pretty much. I was probably 7 or 8. I travelled it around the world from New Zealand.
So you brought COVID back from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Intoxicated the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just sprinkled a bit in Brazil for good measure.
There we go. Just doused it around.
Yeah. Usually good with big things in front of my mouth.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, hang on a minute.
Okay.
That fist from your mouth.
If I sit like this, I've got to get comfy, man.
No, you can move it if you need to. You
close
can.
Enough
if
to
you
the
sit
table,
back and you just...
Amateurs. Is this recording as well? We on? Oh, shit. Amateurs.
Hang on. We are amateurs because I'm not even organised here.
I just hope you've watched some of the fights.
I'm still trying. We're talking about fights, are we?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
I just need 10 minutes of revision. So
I need Tapology pulled up because that's the order that we worked.
Make sure I can see this screen as well. I might have to keep going on my phone.
This screen?
Yeah, tilt it a bit like before.
Oh, okay.
We'll share it.
Okay.
I maybe should have brought a computer.
Right.
There you go. Too busy thinking about what I'm using it for to even think about bringing it
there
today.
There we go.
Again, amateurish.
Well, I can show you the record if needs be.
Yeah, I've got it here that's as right. well.
Okay. How are you, Jimmy? Oh, no, I need to do spot. Oh, yeah, I'm all off. I'm all twisted. Hang on a minute.
Don't forget.
Oh, Jesus. Now I'm knocking stuff. Okay. I need to get a handle on this.
You've got it.
I've got it. Okay. Oh, Jesus. What's going on here? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. Today I'm joined by Jimmy Waller. Did you see Rogan and saying... Nurmagomedov's name the other day. It was a clip.
No, it was a clip.
He went, and he trailed off. It was it got shared around. I'll have to send it to you. Broken. I've done it myself.
Yeah,
I called Gunnar Nelson Rick Story once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was a good one.
After he just got beaten by Rick Story by decision. Yeah, bad that. Today we're sponsored by Unbound Merino, which you don't have any Unbound Merino. We'll have to get you some. I managed to get my hat back from V. My lovely merino wool hoodie. You've got to check stuff out. UnboundMerino.com. If you use the code Outlaw, you'll get 15% off. And if you spend over $100, you'll get free shipping in the US. Make sure you check out Unbound Merino. And the other sponsor is our good friends at XBrain. They've upgraded my code. So if you use the code Outlaw, you will now get 20% off. Ooh. And that includes... collagen, mate. That's good for your joints at our age.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got this Neuroptimax, which I'm just going to pass on to Jimmy because that's your caffeine drink.
Yeah.
And Onnit supplements, all of your Onnit products, Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, and whatever else you need. So xbrain.co.uk, use the code Outlaw, you'll get 20% off. You've got a concern about this, haven't you?
Let's just state this now, innit? So basically, beat your alanine gives me an itchy bum hole. Oh, and I grow a bit red and get itchy skin in that.
What?
So
where's
if I start
the science
doing this,
behind that?
I don't know. That's as technical as I get, Dan. You know this. It gives me itchy bum hole. There you go.
Well, it concerns me that you might have been applying the beta alanine.
You're
going
to put it up your ass, right? I was just about to drop my trousers. Is that wrong? I'm sure it's beta alanine that gives me that, you know, that tingly.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to always go to
What was the one I was using? Ooh. Made me smell of fish.
Oh, yeah, L-carnitine.
L-carnitine.
All the time.
Bad one.
On weight camps. weight cuts. Fight camps. I remember it.
Why was I taking that? Who told me to take that?
Was it fat loss? Is that the guy? Ollie's friend. Phil Richards. Was it Ollie's friend? He had to take about a million tablets.
I was taking like 78 tablets a day.
One of them green and brown ones.
I had a green drink in the morning. I had a clay drink in the morning. It was like salty seawatery algae. It's good, right?
Tasty.
I tell you what they taste like. You'll remember these. You remember ice poles? The long, like 10p ones, right? Yeah. The ones that you used to suck and cut the sides of your mouth on the side of the plastic.
Remember them? Nice.
That's exactly what it tastes like. Very good. They're really good. Neuroctomax, you can get it from X-Brain. Definitely worth checking out. I'll get you a tub of the pre-workout stuff as well.
Can you really sniff that or do you only drink it?
You only drink it, as far as I know. I mean,
I'll try. Give it both looks.
No wonder you get an itchy bum hole.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about UFC London today. And the reason why Jimmy is special guest is because it's UFC London. It's a special card.
And I know one or two fighters.
You know one or two fighters on the card. So you'll know Jimmy is from Roughhouse Uncensored, from his epic MMA career around the world, international MMA legend. Come on, mate. I mean,
international flopper, but there you go.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, UFC London. So we'll get into it from the bottom of the card, shall we? So you've done all your research, haven't you? You're well on this.
I mean, I've spent hours. I spent a lot of time.
I'm surprised you didn't contact Ollie and have him send his notes over. No.
But you see, but again, we mentioned this earlier when we were chatting, I can just fall back on, he's got a good jab. He's twitchy. And then if ever in doubt, if you see me do this, guys, I ain't got a fucking clue what Dan's on about. So if you see me do this, I'm just going to do that. And that's the cue to know Jimmy ain't got a clue what the fuck Dan's saying. I'm just going to nod and... Yes. There you go. So that's my plan.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so first one is Jai Herbert against Ilia Topuria. So Jai is renegade, he's tall, rangy, he is 11-3 is his record. Topuria is 11-0. Lethal neck attacker. What are you saying? Rough fight for Jai.
Yeah. We spoke about it earlier, didn't we? So this is at lightweight.
Yeah.
And this is Topuria. Is this his first fight at lightweight? Because it says it feather, right? Make sure, because that's what I was looking at, weren't it?
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, this is a lightweight.
So it's quite short. 5'7", is he? Or 5'9"? It's quite short, right?
He is. He's 5'7".
Yeah.
5'7". Normally a featherweight. So is this his first one moving up?
Why has he come up? I don't know.
He's had two cancelled bouts.
So he's undefeated at...
Okay. Here's the answer then. So he was on the card for UFC 270 against Charles Jourdain, and he missed weight. So he was removed from the fight.
Oh, right, okay. There you go.
So that's why. So he's, I guess he's right at the top of the weight class and he's moved up. And then Jai on the other, so he's 5'7", and then Jai on the other side
he's got to be.
Let me pull up his comparison. I mean, Jai's going to keep it a distance, isn't he? 6'1". Yeah, so here's the stats. So Jai's 6'1" compared to 5'11" for Topuria.
5'11" or 5'7"?
Sorry, 5'7".
Yeah, sorry.
Good memory, eh? Stuff's kicking in already.
My arsehole's starting. I'm fucking sharp. My arsehole's hurting. You know what I mean? Yeah, so okay.
Topuria's 69 inch reach and Jai's 77.
Yeah.
So he's got an 8 inch reach advantage as well.
Yeah. So, I mean.
I mean, what do you do? If you're in Jai's corner, what's your recommendation?
Well, you've got to stay long in him, haven't you? And obviously, Ollie says, uses the jab well. he's very true. He's got good feet, good lead hand, isn't he? Good straight punches, good takedown defense. But it is a tough fight at Topuria. What is it, 11-0?
11-0, yeah. 100% takedown defense. Jai's 30% is his UFC stat. He has got better takedown offense than that. I mean, that's only based on his UFC fights, and he's had some rough ones.
But Topuria's grappling, how strong?
Very, very strong. I mean, just constant neck attacks. I remember he was on Cage Warriors fighting. What's his name? Anyway, you just put him to sleep. It was not. He didn't even have a chance to tap. It was a very, very quick submission. He's just got strong neck attacks generally. I mean, triangle, a couple of rear naked chokes, a couple of guillotines, an anaconda, then a triangle armbar, and then he knocked somebody out in Brave, and then joined the UFC, and he's had three fights in the UFC, but knocked his last two opponents out.
Yeah,
went the distance with Zalal, and then he knocked out Damon Jackson and Ryan Hall. Did you see? I bet you didn't see Gary Tonan get stopped the other day.
I did actually. I seen the finish. Fucking hell,
that was nasty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Risky, isn't it?
Very,
very risky. I don't know. What's that Tapori? Yeah, it was Tapori. He works the body well, doesn't he? He rips the body well. But again, he's getting to join it. Jai moves his feet well, and he plays that long game very well. Good jab, good right hand. He gets hit with the right hand a lot, doesn't he? As well, that Tapori. That's what
he does.
I noticed. So Jai clips him. Obviously, getting to him. Jai can put him away. And I said, we've got to back the Brits, haven't we? But there's a couple of Brits who've got it really fucking hard on the night, and Jai's one of them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, a couple of the other ones are favourable to the Brits, but Jai and
he's only had hard fights, Jai has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've only given him hard fights. I mean, Trinaldo was a rough one.
Mm.
So who's he got? Yeah, he had Trinaldo in his debut. Then they gave him Moicano.
Yeah.
That was a second round submission. I don't know. I mean, he's coming off that win over Karma Worthy, that first round knockout. But this is a different fight. I mean, he's going to constantly be thinking about Tapori closing him down to take him down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he's probably going to be skirting the octagon, skirting the fence, trying to use his takedown defense against the fence instead of trying to wrestle out in the open, wouldn't you think? Although, is Tapori Greco? Is he upper body wrestling?
Not sure.
I don't know. I can see Jai kind of standing a bit tall up against the fence and trying to pick him off and time him.
Yeah, but we don't want to be against that cage. We've been speaking about this of late, haven't we? Yeah. As well. If you're going to be long player game, take it from the centre and put them on the heels so you've got that space behind you. Yeah. Time your counter shots, time your turns, and et cetera, innit?
Yeah.
It's a super tough fight for him. I'm going to go with Jai just because he's British and I hope he can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But him and maybe the main event as well. A couple of tough fights.
Couple of really ones. I think
ones.
He has. Yeah.
What are you saying? What are you thinking?
I am seeing him struggle to keep Tapori away from him.
Yeah.
Because the thing is with Tapori, naturally he wants to close distance, and especially now he's the shorter fighter. There's going to be no question about that. He's going to want to be close to him. He's going to want to take him down up against the fence, but most likely to get in on his legs and then take him away from the fence to allow him to scramble out in the open. Yeah. And that's when he'll clamp onto his neck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, make him go deep on the underhook or whatever to stand up.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I could see him catching Jai, unfortunately. I'd like to see, you know, but at the same time, I'm a big fan of Tapori.
I like the way he punches him, man. Like ripping the body well and big power shots and...
Yeah.
Just getting to Jai to do it, innit?
Yeah. He has got a wicked overhand as well. It was a second round stoppage on his way into the UFC. It was a big overhand.
Right.
It's almost like he kind of... Where was it? Oh, no, it was a first rounder still. Overhand, first round. I think he's very dynamic. He was actually a bantamweight before, believe it or not.
What, now he's all the way up to lightweight?
So he made his debut at featherweight. He had a couple of fights at featherweight. Then he... did a catchweight bout at 140. Then he fought at featherweight again. Then he fought at bantamweight. Fought in Cage Warriors at bantamweight against Brian Bullon. That was the fight I was thinking of. And that was an anaconda in minute 39. He was asleep before Goddard even realised. And then he went up to featherweight. Two fights in Brave and then three in the UFC.
Now a lightweight.
And now a lightweight. Shifting up the gears.
Growing.
Yeah. He's a grown boy.
How
old is he? He's not very old. 25.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was he fighting? When did he have that fight at Bantam? How many years ago?
Bantam weight was 2018. So about 4 years.
4 years ago.
21.
Yeah. Yeah. Proper SNC coach. Found someone better than Ollie. And He's actually putting muscle on and progressing, so fair play to Tapori.
What you're going to find about this podcast is that there are a lot of Ollie fans in the comments.
Oh, really?
Ask where he is.
I've seen the ones who think that
Ollie's
me. There
are
Ollie's
a lot of people that are glad that he's not here, don't get me wrong. I mean, we see all those comments as well, especially when, you know, Jamie Orvie steals the show. But
really? What, glad Ollie's gone?
I think now he's you're here, though, I don't think they'll ever want to see or hear from Ollie again.
Yeah?
I get that feeling. We'll see in the comments. You let us know. So you're going Jai?
Yeah, yeah.
Reluctantly, because you know it's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're willing
for Jai.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I think Tapori is going to sub him, I'm afraid. It's a tough fight. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, Jai's been working with Arnold Allen
at Renegade. So
he's got good neck attacks.
Yeah, they've got I just think
Tapori
is
a different
there,
level, though.
Coming prepared. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of good bodies.
Yeah, we've ran into a couple of the boys recently. Yeah, they're good. They're very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. So next up we have Nathaniel Wood against Vince Morales. Mm. So Nathaniel Wood is 17-5, Vince Morales 11-5. This is another one that could, I mean, this is, it's a bit of a coin toss, this one, for me, because Nathaniel does get drawn into brawls sometimes. Like, he does like to bang a little bit, and Morales is a little bit leery on his feet, isn't he? But in and out, big power.
I don't
power.
Even say he's twitchy. I've seen Ollie say twitchy. He's twitchy, you know.
He's been doing your classes, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, he's twitchy, and he's in good form as well, right? I remember looking at this.
Two-fight win streak.
Tough fight.
And you've got...
It was this as well, wasn't it? It was talking about this.
An inch in height and reach advantage for Vince Morales. Although a massive striking output difference for Nathaniel Wood. 6.2 strikes per minute compared to 4.6. That's a lot, that is. That's like Max Holloway numbers. 75% takedown defense for Nathaniel as well. Like, he might try and wrestle him. He might decide he wants to take Morales down. Because Morales is going to be quite happy to stand and trade. He's confident in his hands. He's confident in the pocket. You know. Yeah, that overhand he caught Smolka with was a demo of his power. And
yes,
I tell you what else
he uses. Yeah.
You know that, who was it that used it? Davy Grant, the little switch stance hook.
Right, okay.
He uses that quite often.
Want to go off the line.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a good striking match, but I won't be surprised if Nathaniel Wood decides to grapple it with him a little bit.
I watched a couple of minutes of his last one, Morales.
Yeah.
And they're saying that in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he does that real well, but if Wood can time his low kick as well. Start chopping him a little bit.
He has been stopped by low kicks, Morales.
So
Gutierrez stopped him with low kicks in the second.
So you think Wood might try and wrestle him, chop his legs a bit?
Keep it MMA.
Yeah.
I think Morales is probably going to want a box, yeah.
Yeah, up and down him a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could work out for him, couldn't it?
I think so.
I think the low kicks there on that bounce, I think that low kick's there for him, chop his legs, slow him down, take that away, and start up and down him with the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Box him, wrestle him, mix it up.
Exhaust him from thinking.
Yeah, can make it work.
Yeah. My concern with Nathaniel is that he's a bit too keen to mix it up. He's a bit too keen to get drawn in. And you've got to think this is UFC London. The crowd are going to be going fucking mental.
Yeah.
He's going to have Brad in his corner all like psyched up and excited. Mate, did you follow Brad on Instagram? Do you see all his Lego come off the shelf the other day?
No.
He's got a Lego collection comparable to mine, Brad has.
Right, well, that impressive, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Right, okay, yeah, okay. He's got a wicked Lego collection. Anyway, he had all of his Lego, all of his Star Wars stuff on a shelf above the sofa, and the cleaner came in and was cleaning, and the whole shelf come down. And he just took a photo of it, and it's just fucking...
What, smashed
just
it?
Just smashed, yeah. Wow. He's going to have to rebuild almost all the sets.
How would you feel if that was
down,
you?
Mate.
How would you react to that?
I had to sit down when I saw the picture. I did. I've been watching tanks get blown up and shit on Instagram all week.
Yeah,
mate,
choppers going down.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but Brad's Lego. Brad's Lego push you over the end. Over the edge.
Honestly, I almost volunteered humanitarian aid for him, honestly. Yeah, it was bad.
Don't get no worse. They're both poor bugger.
Yeah.
A lot of hours.
Yeah. It's all right. He's got time now. He's retired. Yeah. Mate, GB Top Team is wicked.
I had a look.
Nice, it
looks good, man.
Yeah, really nice.
Really nice.
I had a good look around the other day. They've got loads of space, nice big cage, nice ring, and like two matted areas either side.
That's what you
as
want.
As well as an S&C area. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Really good. They've got a great setup. Mm. Anybody down there, go and check them out for sure. Mm. So what you reckon on this one?
I reckon that's giving me itchy skin.
Is it? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
That's weird. I've never had that before.
On my face, right? I've gone rouge yet. No?
You're always red.
Yeah, no, but redder. These lights are making me look orange as fuck as well. Even more ginger. Again, I'm going to back the Brits. I'm going to back the Brits because I do believe in, you know, fucking, I've had it in my career where I've travelled and it has affected performance, it's affected weight cuts and, you know, that home crowd.
Yeah.
You know, it does make a difference and it does give an advantage, I believe. Do you know what I mean? I do.
It's sort of about driving to the venue, isn't it?
Yeah. And I feel like when it's neck and neck, I think that pushes it in the Brits' favour. When I'm unsure, I'm always going to back the Brits, I reckon. But realistically as well, I think he can do it.
It's going to be a hard-fought fight. It's going to be a hard-fought battle if he wins. I'm picking Nathaniel by decision, but I think he's going to have to really work hard for it.
Keep discipline.
Yeah.
Not get drawn in. That's keep it. that keep that
Stay on cool, the outside, calm, keep collected. Chopping his leg.
Yeah, chop his
offer
leg.
Him a boxing match and then pull level out and
change,
chop his leg.
Yeah, or level change underneath him well, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mix it up on him that in that way.
Make him timid to commit to anything.
Yeah. And then they would chop the leg again.
There you go.
And that's his way to success in it, I reckon.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on, shall we?
Yeah.
So, you, Elise Reed against Cora McKenna. Mm. You don't know much about Elise Reed, do
no,
you?
No, I don't know.
So, she's had one fight in the UFC. Let me just pull up her record. She's had one fight in the UFC, and she came in against Sajara Eubanks.
Right.
And Eubanks is a big, strong fighter. She's been up weight classes. That fight was at flyweight. She's fought down as low as atom weight, though, Elise Reed. Right. Like she's been really low in her career. I think she was, atom weight, straw weight. Yeah, so she's had one atom weight fight as a pro and then three straw weight fights. And then she came in against Sajara, who's already a big, strong fighter and fought at flyweight. Well, so now she's fighting. It's a big ask,
that is.
Looked way out of her depth. But from what I've seen of her outside the UFC, she looks pretty good.
Yeah.
She's a gamer. She's got a decent grappling, decent scrambling exchanges. Mm. I don't think she's comparable with Corey on the ground. I think Corey has the advantage there for sure.
Yeah.
Strength-wise as well as discipline. And I also think she's probably a more disciplined striker.
Mm.
But Elise is a little bit wild. She's a little bit reckless.
Mm.
Like I watched Corey's last fight again yesterday, and she's like, against Kay Hansen, she's got a real nice, tight, well-disciplined boxing style.
Mm.
And I think as long as she sticks to that, she's going to be able to walk Elise Reed down. And if she does decide she wants to grapple, I do think she's going to be able to take her down and dominate her.
Mm.
It's just that unpredictability on the feet from Reed. She's a bit wild.
And that X factor a bit,
yeah?
Yeah. We speak about it with Johnny Walker, don't we? Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's back down in a weight class which is suitable for her now. So I don't know whether a grappling would look any better given the fact that she's now fighting someone more of her size.
Evenly matched power and strength-wise.
But Cory McKenna's good.
Mm.
She is good. And she's out at alpha male now, isn't she, all the time?
Yeah.
She's getting better and better. And she's comfortable, used to winning by decision as well. She's like, she can comfortably cruise to a decision and
grind
shut people
someone
down.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. Do enough.
Yeah. Or, you know, quite happily take their back as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to go Cory McKenna.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who's up next? We have...
Okay.
You'll have to bend it.
Is that okay?
Okay. You'll have to bend the arm. You can move it closer towards you without moving it. Go on, you can do it.
I'll figure it out.
Push this way.
Look at that.
Here we go.
Fucking hell, Jim. You could have told me that. It'd have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? The fucking heart fucker. Jesus Christ. Hey, that's too close now.
Come on, there we go.
Is that better, Jim? Is that okay?
There we go. Look at that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next up. This is a great fight. Mike Grundy against Makwan Amir Carney.
Mm, yeah.
So, of course, Mike Grundy's a Commonwealth wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very, very strong wrestler, really well conditioned, trained out of Cowbon. Good striking from Colin Heron, of course. And then on the other side, you've got Makwan Amir Carney, who's got a good Greco background. He's got a lot of submissions on his record. He's been working a lot on his boxing as well.
Mm-hmm.
He goes a bit flat if he doesn't get the fight won in the first round.
Yeah.
And he's coming off three losses, one being a knee loss to Lerone Murphy in the second round and two decisions.
Mm-hmm.
When he does win, it's Anacondas usually.
Yeah.
But he's up against it here. I think Grundy can shut him down with good wrestling.
Grind him out. Mm. Tire him out because he gets tired. I think it's that X factor in that first round. Do you know what I mean?
He's
bit all over the place. Big stuff in it. That's when who did knock out with the knee? That was Emma Kwan, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Andy Ugle.
That was it. Yeah.
It was like six seconds. Just ran at him from the opening bell.
He's got that sort of stuff to his game as well, isn't it? So first round, he's dangerous, isn't he?
Yeah, because he doesn't really mind where he lands. Mm. That's the reason why he does that crazy stuff, because he can land wherever and he's comfortable scrambling back.
Yeah.
He might not feel like that against Grundy, but given the fact that he's had a couple of decisions where he has been kind of outworked, he might want to slow it down a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, be a bit more efficient.
Yeah.
It's a smart way of going in against Grundy, isn't it?
I mean, what would be ideal for Makwan is if he can be patient and he can, you know, maybe chip at the leg and, you know, just kind of not really engage too much and make Grundy a little bit. Yeah,
Work, use his jab, use his face, because he's taller as well.
Yeah, a bit more range.
Yeah. Thinking body wise off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think
Length, be disciplined. Grundy work for everything, maybe make Grundy tired. You know what I mean?
So they've got the same reach. They've both got a 72 inch reach, but right. Macwin's 3 inches taller.
Okay.
Yeah. Southpaw the orthodox as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like I think, to be honest, if Macwin's patient enough, Grundy will initiate a takedown, and yeah. I think that's where Macwin can either attack his neck or maybe even a flying knee or something. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got some counters to a level change.
On the open stance, you see it all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Even if you throw in a body, that's the most common. Knee. Yeah, rear knee. But you see that amount of times you see it when someone throws an inside low kick or a body kick,
mm-hmm.
and they change the level onto the knee.
Yeah.
We were speaking about it the other week, Monday. Yeah. Remember, we were doing all them drills, weren't we?
Yeah.
With the line, the danger of that line.
Yeah. Who is it? Is it Marlon Moraes with the two different knockouts with the same kick?
I can't think who it was now.
I'm sure it was. It's Marlon Moraes. He knocked out, is it Aljamain Sterling? And there's another one. Oh, it's Jimmy Rivera. There we go. So he threw this exactly the same kick. I'll show you in a bit. He threw exactly the same kick.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
One of them, he caught the kick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he stayed at distance. With Aljo, he closed distance and he caught him with the knee.
Yeah.
But if you look at them, exactly the same position in the octagon, exactly the same technique and everything.
Yeah.
Just level changed onto it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think Macwin's going to try and be calm, and I think he's going to try and draw Grundy in and try and attack him as he's level changing, instead of trying to pressure him early.
Yeah. And spunking the energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you got to click on it. If you're getting tired, you got to think, right, free fight loss. I need to be smart here, man. Yeah. I've got to win this, innit? Maximum efficiency. Need a win. Surely.
You got to think so.
That's where his head's got to be at. But again.
Yeah. See, if I'm Grundy, I'm moving in behind a tight boxing stance, and I'm keeping him up against the fence, and I'm just going to make
watching
him work.
Watching that rear knee.
Yeah.
Snatch singles, head on the outside.
Yeah.
Cross body doubles.
Get safe takedowns. Safe takedowns. So you're not coming from a distance.
Get to the single, get to the body. Work in there against the cage, slow it down. Mm-hmm. Octagon control, keep him pinned on the cage, a minute, 90 seconds. Be active, look for the takedown.
Yeah. Then he's going to start to get tired and start to do silly things like trying to whiz a throw and stuff. Yeah, and you're not going to get Grundy with something like that.
Grundy should grind him out, right, for the decision.
I think so. You've got to also think Macwin's a confidence fighter and he's on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that doesn't do anything for your confidence, let me tell you.
No.
He's won one in his last five, in fact, Danny Henry, the Anaconda.
Right.
And you know, you look at Grundy and, yeah, he's coming off a couple of losses, but it's a unanimous decision against Mav Saivlev, which is a nightmare of a fighter for everybody, undefeated 12-0.
Right.
And then a split decision against Lando Venata, who almost put Tony Ferguson out when they faced. He's a dangerous individual.
Yeah.
I think there's a big risk for Grundy in the first round, getting caught with a flying knee or getting wrapped up in an anaconda.
Making a mistake. Yeah. Yeah.
But if he gets to his stall at the end of the first round, I think he dominates to a decision after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll go Grundy.
Yeah.
I'll go Grundy as well. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this one as well. Mohamed Mokaev against Cody Durden.
Mm.
So Mokaev 5-0, making his UFC debut. He was the IMAF champ. He signed with Brave and was undefeated in Brave. He's coming off of a rear naked choke win over O'Driscoll for the belt. And he's facing Cody Durden, who's 12-3 with one draw, who's, I believe, NCAA Division 1.
Okay.
Strong wrestler, very strong wrestler. But could potentially really play into Mokaev's hands, because I feel like... See, the thing is with Mokaev, he's spent his entire wrestling career in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So his wrestling is a high level, but he's not been against the guys that Cody Durden's been wrestling against. Mm-hmm. Like, the experience that Durden will have in kind of general wrestling is greater. But I think Mokaev's wrestling for MMA might be more effective.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he's got good striking.
Yeah, I was about to say, he strikes well. Yeah, yeah, does strike well.
Mm-hmm.
Just MMA and put it together well.
That's it. It's these younger kids, isn't it? I don't know how old Cody Durden is.
He's never lost, has he? He's hot, isn't he?
This is it.
Yeah. What was it? 20-odd no amateur, something like that, wasn't
something
he?
Something like that.
Let me pull 5 times world champion, so many times European champion.
Very impressive fighter.
Yeah, man.
A lot of experience against fighters from all around the world as well. Jamie, you were over there when he was competing, weren't you, at IMAF?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, where he's 22-0 as an amateur.
Mm.
Pretty impressive, that is.
Yeah.
And you know, he's cycling through people. He's, you know, he's going rear naked choke, decision, knockout, a couple of decisions, a couple of stoppages, rear naked choke, couple of, you know, he's got a very, very well-rounded game.
Yeah.
And stopping people with, these are 3-minute rounds as well, aren't they, as amateur?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. He's on his way to the top, isn't he? I think it's just another stepping stone for him, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
This his last one against Blaine O'Driscoll was really impressive. I did a war room for it. It was funny actually because I'd done a war room for it and I said I think there's a potential he's going to catch him with a rear naked choke here. And after the fight, I got a message from Markayev and he was like, I watched the breakdown and I'm like, as I was watching it, I'm like, there's no way I'm winning this one by rear naked choke, and he subbed him by rear naked.
Planted that seed.
Yeah. It's just the way that he wrestles. You know what I mean? It's like heavy pressure without being like clamped on all the time. It's like real fluid because he's quite happy to break away and start to strike again. Mm. Like, I think Cody Durden's a real tough test for him, given the fact that he is a wrestler and he might be able to just shut him down. Yeah. But I think the UFC are banking on Makhachev.
Like you said, that sums it up. I think it's wrestling for MMA, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's different in itself as well, isn't it?
Mm.
I think it is. On him. Does what he chooses.
For sure. So we're both going Makhachev, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is one of the toughest fights for a local fighter as well. Molly McCann fighting Luana Carolina. The reason I think this is challenging is because of the style of Carolina, right? She's quite tall. She's got a good jab. She's got a decent takedown defense after she's kind of established a bit of dominance. Like her last fight was against Lupita Godinez. And when she started to take over the fight, when she was able to start pressuring her back up against the fence, I could see that being a really dangerous cycle for Molly to get caught in.
Yeah.
Because Molly's game, she's got good head movement, but she swings her punches quite wide.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a danger that Carolina might just keep coming down the center.
Yeah.
Like, do you know when Molly fought Cash Wader, UFC London a while back, and she got her eyes swelled up real bad?
Remember
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was the problem. Like, she was getting caught with shots because she was winging and she's weaving.
Yeah.
My concern is that Carolina might be able to just kind of walk her down behind straight punches, you know? And then we might see Molly
dip in the head a bit as well, get caught with some of the centre maybe.
Potentially. Mm. Kicks and stuff.
She don't want to be on the back foot, does she?
Not really.
No.
Not really. And I think if she is on the back foot for long, I think she'll level change. I think she'll try and grapple with her.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's a 2-inch height advantage for Carolina, but a 7-inch reach advantage.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
With straight arm shots and bent arm shots.
Yeah, 88% takedown defense as well. Like it could be a rough night for Molly. Like she might be able to just walk in and start clubbing her and put her on the back foot straight away and never allow her to even start. But what I've seen from Carolina is that she's able to kind of recover after a rough patch and work her way back into the fight. And she just goes back to nice, tight discipline. Just bat, bat. Bat, you know what I mean? And that might be real problems for Molly. Just stylistically, it might be a tough matchup.
You got to think if she can chop her legs a bit, get in on the wrestle, not put her house on, get scoring the takedown. Do you know what I mean? Separate, strike, crowd it, make it uglier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If anyone's going to perform with the crowd behind them and give it their all, it's Molly, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean she does rise to the occasion. Mm. But she can also be outworked.
Yeah.
And that's my concern. I mean, in her last fight, the numbers that she put out, she landed 127 punches and scored 2 takedowns in her last fight, Molly did. That's a mad output. Compared to the rest of her fights where she's sometimes getting over 100 strikes, but often not, you know. That's a big output. Like, she might be able to just overwhelm her, but my concern is that she's going to struggle to get close to her, and then she's going to start to reach for takedowns and not get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, comes back to being efficient, being smart, innit?
So what would you say if you're in Molly's corner? Say if she spends the first round getting her face jabbed and can't get in close for a takedown, she comes back to the corner at the end of the first round, what's your advice to her?
What would you say?
I'd say to start feinting level changes, level changes to set up strikes and start.
Got
to
get thinking if you can't land hands, you got to think about chopping the legs, take your movement away, and you're all the way in or you're all the way out. But it's that got to get thinking about the wrestling. The only way if your hands aren't landing, because someone's jabbing your head off, innit? You've got to get them thinking about the wrestling.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean scoring the takedown. It means planting that seed at the wrestling. Do you know what I mean? So some flybys, a couple of big shots, get us a double guard and get in on the body. Mm-hmm. And just don't, and like you say, just don't spunk it. Don't go 110 on the takedown. You're not getting it. She rides it well, then be efficient. Pin her on the cage, slow it down, head position, knees, elbows, and go that route, innit? And grind her out.
Yeah.
And that's the way to approach it. Make it maybe a little bit ugly, a little bit boring. You know what I mean? Not score the takedown and just go to clear.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's usually the best point of call, right?
Mm. I mean, even if she does have a rough first round and she gets back to her corner, and they do give her that kind of advice and she is able to like tie her up and head position. I mean, with her being shorter, head position's easier.
Mm.
She'll be able to prop her up against the fence with that and
spike her in,
knee
slow
and,
it down, run the clock a bit.
Yeah. Like, I think she might physically be able to control her. I just think she's going to struggle to take her down.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, like you said, done right. You don't, don't blow energy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not every takedown. What was it the other day? Colby's fight with Masvidal, hadn't it? I know he took him down as well, but I think it was the third round or fourth round. Whoever's commentating says he scored 4 of 15 so far.
Mm-hmm.
4 of 15 attempts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you don't need to necessarily score a takedown, do you?
It's better stats than a lion. I think it's 1 in 16 when a lion's attacking prey.
Yeah.
That's
so there
how
you go.
They get it. You got to try 15 times before you're going to get
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But again, the way the MMA is going, guys and girls are doing things well. It's getting think about the takedown, using them openings to strike. Because if you're thinking, well, we've had it anyway, with someone who we think they're going to wrestle us, we freeze, we hesitate. You know what I mean? We lose that confidence of throwing the shots, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, and exploiting that. Do you know what I mean? Plant them seeds and just stick to the plan up and down. And when we can, slow it down and stall it out and play the game. I mean, we had a bit of that the other week.
Yeah.
Slow it down, stall it out, play the game, do it well, do it efficiently, do it smart. I mean, it's the game, isn't it? It's just a violent game. That's all fine, isn't it? Play the game and edge it. She can win this.
Yeah.
She can win this.
I do think it's one of the tougher fights on the card. I really do. Mm. I just think stylistically, like there are a lot of other fighters in this division, and I would think to myself, Molly would have a good chance of really, really giving them a hard time. Like, even if they'd have given her the fighter that Carolina has just beaten. Godinez, like that would have been a good one because she's kind of short in stature and she's gonna want to wrestle a little bit more. See, I think maybe they've picked Carolina for her because she's gonna want to strike, but I think the style of her striking is a problem for Molly.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I might be wrong. You know, Molly's been looking quite sharp on pads. I've seen her hitting some pads and stuff, but it changes when there's the atmosphere and she, like you know what Molly's like. She's walking out. She's going, come on. Fucking come on!
Yeah,
and she's like gets herself all hyped up. So it's always going to be a brawl,
you
know. That's the way that she's hyping herself up. Didn't work for me when I was fighting. Didn't really work for you either.
No. The ragey approach.
Yeah,
it's not usually the best, is it?
No, it didn't. Just
cool, calm, collected. Seems to
be calculated about it.
Yeah, seems to work better, doesn't it?
Yeah. What are you saying?
I'm going back to the Brits, man.
Going back to the Brits. I love your confidence, Jimmy.
I'm going back to the Brits. But I am, this and a couple of others we've said, could easily be a bad night.
This is a tough one. I'm making honest picks. I have nothing against anybody on the card.
No.
I think Luana might win a decision here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be a rough one for Molly. I just think she might be on the end of a jab cross all night.
Yeah,
and struggle to close distance. I think I could just see her keep reaching for that lead leg and just push away. But you know, slightly better footwork as well. I would say Carolina's got rough fight, but you know, we'll see. I'm thinking Carolina's going to take it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, another tough one as well.
Who's it next?
Fucking Jack Shaw against Timur Valiyev.
Yeah.
Like I'm more confident in Jack Shaw in this one, but Jack Shaw's general path to victory is to walk them down with boxing and low kicks.
Yeah.
Push them up against the fence, tick their back, choke them out. Mystery's got a wicked clip coming that he got the other day. He went down to see Jack.
It was
it's
awesome.
Wicked. And he talks through his process to finish. It's beautiful. And the thing is with him, it's so consistent. Seen him do it all the time on Cage Warriors. He steps into the UFC, is doing the same thing.
15-0 now,
15-0,
right?
Against 18-2 for Valiyev. Now, Valiyev is shorter. He's going to be quite happy to fight on the back foot. He's going to be quite happy to kind of move away and try and point and kick and
he's
move.
He's the laser legs, isn't he? He's got some good ass legs,
super
isn't he?
Quick legs, good takedown defense, very, good wrestling.
Very, very legs. Like
very legs.
Like very, very legs.
Very, very legs.
Very, very legs. Mm.
So what are you saying? What are you saying? Jack Shaw can walk him down and beat him up boxing?
Yeah. I think Jack can push him back, right?
Yeah.
Take him down on a low kick maybe, back him up, make him kick on the back foot, mm-hmm. put his back against the cage and do Jack.
Yeah. Maybe.
Taller, jab his head off, time to take down well on the legs. Jack, do Jack.
Yeah. I just wonder whether Valiev can stall that process on the fence. I think that's maybe, where he can probably stall it. Down a bit. So it might be better for Jack to just stick to the striking range because he is taught. I mean, because the other thing as well, like Valiev's last fight against Barcelos, I watched it live and I watched it again yesterday. I still don't think Valiev won that fight. It was a majority decision for him, but it was so close.
Right.
And he was on the back foot the whole time. And he just, I don't know, I just kind of felt to myself, Barcelos is good, but he kind of has like a steady pace, which Jack Shaw doesn't. Jack Shaw changes the pace quite quickly.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Jack Shaw is able to kind of stay in and out of range and just light him up and get in and out of range enough not to get caught with anything. But if he closes him down and tries to take him down against the fence, he might find himself burning loads of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've always got to be careful.
And that's my concern there, because I think Valiev might be able to stall him there.
I think he's quite, what's the word? Quite meticulous, isn't he, Jack? Very disciplined. Very. I think he's efficient. I don't think he'd spunk his load.
No.
No, I think he'd, no, nah, too much. Back to the body, back to head position. Wrist control, knee.
There was just
head.
One fight he got a bit drawn in, wasn't it? Was it Hunter Azure? He won a split decision. But he got drawn in a bit. He was a bit scrappy in it.
I think I know what you're on about. Yeah.
Like I even think that was the kind of mood in the corner was like you're getting drawn into a scrap here unnecessarily.
Split.
Yeah, like if you look at his like the fights before them, I mean he's running through guys with rear naked chokes, but he's not doing it first round. He's breaking them down.
Yeah.
So like he started off, you know, first round rear naked chokes, second round TKO, first round rear naked chokes, armbar. And then he started to, like, as the level got up, like Vaughn Lee, 3-round decision. Do you know what I mean? Like, as the level got up, as the fighters got more difficult, they got, you know, Scott Malone, Hernandez in his debut, slightly better fighters, slightly longer to beat them, but still doing the same thing.
Mm.
But then with Azure, he just got a bit, drawn into a fight for my liking.
Yeah.
I think if he stays disciplined, I wouldn't want him to waste his energy trying to take his back when Valiev's going to be really strong in that position. I'm definitely picking Jack Shaw because I'm well and truly on the Jack Shaw
train.
The train, yes.
Heart train, definitely. Me
the
too.
The tank.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? You reckon you can sub him? He's never been stopped, Valiev.
Got an hot dog rope. you got a half-inch decision.
You reckon, yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise. He's never been stopped, Valiev.
Yeah.
But he's not stopping many people. Like he's had 18 wins. He's knocked out 5 and sub 2.
Yeah.
So he's not like a devastating knockout puncher.
Mm.
I think Jack Shaw by
decision.
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Who's up next? Krylov, Nikita Krylov against Paul Craig.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tough.
I think this is a really tough fight. Like, Paul's great off his back, as we know. He's got great armbar attacks, triangles, etc., etc. But Krylov is smart. He's a wily veteran. He's been in the UFC. He was a heavyweight. He got released. He went away and won some fights. He came back. He made his second debut in the UFC against Jan Błachowicz. Got dominated on the ground. Mm. But he's a good fighter.
Mm.
He's a good fighter. He's a real nightmare in every range.
Yeah.
Just a good mixed martial artist.
Yeah.
That's my concern in this one.
Yeah, exactly, innit?
Yeah. I mean, Paul Craig's got good kicks.
Yeah.
But he's just doesn't seem to have the confidence to use them.
Can weather a storm.
Yeah.
You know, that fatigues guys, innit? Guys punch yourself out a bit, try and get the kill. Resilient, crafty.
Well, I mean, look what he did to Ankalaev.
Yeah, he could pull out
4:59 of the third round, subbed him with the triangle.
Yeah, and he's top, isn't
it? Yeah,
top boy.
But here's a question for you then, because I in an interview that I saw recently, he was talking about retiring at the end of this year.
Who?
Paul Craig.
All right.
Yeah. He talked about retiring. He don't want to do it for a long time. Like, okay. Does that change the? Have you heard that, Jamie? Did you hear him say that? Yeah.
Right. Like, what does that change the thought process? Do you reckon that changes his?
Yeah.
When was that? Since the last fight.
Yeah.
Mm.
Have you ever been in that mindset where you're like, "This is my last one for sure"? Because I remember fighting Chris Lytle.
I'm just mentally broken, isn't I? So fucking, I'm king of the world one day and fucking dying the next. I don't but. Yeah, as it was, that's slightly concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just an odd place. And it's an odd thing to say as well.
Stepping into cage with him,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I did a 2022 preview show for the start of the year. And one of my picks, because if you remember, Paul Craig got matched with Gustafsson. And that was like a massive opportunity. And Gustafsson pulled out the fight. And Paul Craig didn't get it. I was thinking they were going to give him another big opportunity. And right. I thought they were going to give him Anthony Smith.
Right.
Which I think would have been a bit... Yeah, you know, yeah. Like there's a danger that Krylov can shut him down. But Anthony Smith does tend to wear in the later rounds, don't he?
Yeah, yeah. Belly rumbling, man. If you hear my belly, ooh.
Oh, they can. These mics are...
You can hear my belly rumbling. Sure. Can you hear my belly? Yeah. I ain't farting. My belly rumbling. I'm going to get down to make me hot dog in a bit.
So what do you reckon? What are you saying?
I'm just looking at the ranks as well. Form.
My concern is that Paul Craig might be on the back foot for the majority of the fight, and it's going to be one of those circumstances where he's got to pull it out of the bag at the last minute. And Krylov is smart. I mean, he's got losses on his record, but...
But again, you know...
Where's his mind at? I mean, he's losing... Oh, he got arm triangle by Błachowicz. He got guillotined by Serkanov.
So he has been subbed.
He got Von Flew by.
Craig put him down. Craig sub him. Put him on his back.
Yeah.
Anyone's going to do it, it's Craig, isn't it? Like, yeah. He's crafting. I mean, it's a tough fight.
I think he'll probably triangle him, but I think he's probably going to end up being taken down in the process, or he might.
Or might get hurt, might get dropped.
And then.
But that's his trademark, and that's his thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to take armbar. I'm going to say Paul Craig by armbar. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I think Paul Craig by armbar. Okay. I just think he's going to struggle in the striking range because Krylov can be quite confident moving forward and just, you know, stick to basics.
Yeah.
And then if Paul can't take him down, then his confidence starts to shake a bit more, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Off his back, he's super slick. Mm. And he did my seminar the other week.
Yeah, maybe you say, yeah.
He's got, honestly, man, you know, when you see him hit pads or, you know, move around with somebody else, and he just lets his strikes go. Mm. I remember him hitting pads when he was in Australia. He was on a card over there, and he was cracking the pads.
Oh, with hands,
Like hands and feet, like legs in particular. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like if he would just have the confidence to let his shots go, I think a lot of these guys would fall in front of him.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, next one, heavyweights. Still not exactly sure whether this one's going to arrive on the card because they're both fighting out of Russia.
Yeah.
Shamil Abdurakhimov, 20-6 against Sergey Pavlovich, 14-1.
Yeah. It's that time where I do this. Yes. Twitchy.
I'm just going with the younger fighter.
On the way up, on the way down. Exactly.
Pavlovich has got good striking. He's hittable, and Abdurakhimov has got decent strikes. He's loose, he's fast. But it's all fast. Looping shots, and, you know. And I can see Pavlovich kind of walking him down.
A bit neater.
Yeah. Mm. And then I could see him stopping him with knees to the body.
Mm.
I could see him stopping him with knees to the body. Mm-hmm. He's just a big, powerful, strong individual. And I feel like Abdurakhimov's he's been in the UFC a long while.
A little bit of that, innit?
Yeah, yeah. Although we've had a few of those fights recently where you've got one guy coming up and the other one coming. Like, you know, you could have said the same about RDA the other day with Fiziev. It didn't happen, did it? I don't know. I mean, how long's Abdurakhimov been in the UFC? He's been in for a while. M1 Challenge back in 2014. Made his debut in 2015. But if you look at the guys that he's lost to guys that are quicker than him, that have managed to catch him and put him on the ground. He loses on the ground in bottom position. And Pavlovich can beat people on the feet. He's got a good, as we saw in the Maurice Greene fight, or he can put people on the floor and just smash them to bits there. There's a lot of fights in his, you know, when he was fighting on Fight Night Global. where he was, you know, ground and pounding up against the fence when people were just folding. I can see him winning with knees. I can see him just being overbearing, backing Abdurrahim off with a, you know, a tight boxing guard, maybe threatening a couple of takedowns, but maybe not getting them, but then maybe coming back up to the clinch,
yeah,
working knees to the body.
Yeah, looking at form and how he's finishing people, and you think so, won't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Pavlovich?
Yeah, Pavlovich.
I'm going Pavlovich.
Stoppage as well, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Well, it could be one of them. Could it be one of them? Could it be one of them horrible, terrible, boring, and they just decision a job?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it could be, but I just don't know.
Crowd all booing him.
I don't know. I think Abdurimov's got a round and a bit in him.
Yeah.
I think he may well get stopped in the first round.
Yeah.
I think Pavlovich might just think, looks that you know, way. He's an old man. I'm going to put my foot on the gas.
Yeah.
40, Abdurimov.
Yeah.
Still young, isn't he? Still young.
Yeah, he's just coming into his prime. You know what I mean? Like me, yeah. You.
Yeah, I'm taking Pavlovich. I think he's going to stop him first round. Probably cool. Ground and pound. Mm. Probably stop him against the fence. Or maybe drop him with knees.
Drop
him
on TKO on the ground and pound, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Here we go. So we're near the top of the card now. This is a replacement. So it was originally Gunnar Nelson against
Claudio.
Mm. And Claudio's withdrawn. They've replaced Claudio with Takashi Sato.
Mm.
So Gunnar's been out for a minute, hasn't he?
Quite a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's a bit of an enigma, Gunnar Nelson is.
Mm.
When was his last one? 2019. Lost a decision to Gilbert Burns. Now, yeah. Although that Leon Edwards decision was a split decision, he got hurt bad in that fight.
Elbow,
do you remember that?
Elbow in the pocket, weren't it? It was lovely really from nice. Leon, weren't it?
I think that this is going to be a much more winnable fight for Gunnar Nelson. I think he's going to be able to. I think he's going to be able to stay on the outside and pick him off. I think he's going to be quicker and more.
He's elusive, isn't he?
Yeah, more elusive.
He does that long karate point style very, very well, doesn't he?
Sato's got a very similar style, though. You know, like if you watch him, he's got a very kind of karate style as well. I just think Gunnar's a better all rounder. I think once he puts him on the floor, he's going to be able to dominate him. I mean, if you look at Sato's record,
last three losses,
they're all
subs.
Yeah,
man.
That arm triangle against Baeza as well. I mean, I could see Gunnar Nelson doing something like that to him, but much quicker.
So slick on the ground, isn't he?
Very,
Gunnar?
Very good.
So good.
I always remember that fight against Zach Cummins when he fought in Dublin. Remember Zach when he was back when he was a welterweight? He went up to light heavyweight after that, I think.
Right.
But Gunnar was on his back. He had a wrist control from behind, and he was like whipping him in the ribs with his knuckles because he was guarding his neck. So he was like slapping him with his knuckles to get him to bring his arm down. He went whack whack, and then he pulled his arm down. And he just straight under, super slick.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm taking Gunnar Nelson. I think he's going to sub him.
Yeah.
I think he's
fought better guys as well, more experienced.
Yeah. Fair play to Sato coming in and taking it.
When did that happen then? When you showed me the fight cards yesterday, I didn't even know that had happened.
Yeah, no, it must have been.
Claudio was off.
Must have been a week ago.
Right. I didn't see that.
Must have been a week ago.
Any reason why?
Was it ankle injury, I think I read?
Or was it?
Yeah, it just says injury. I think it might have been an ankle injury or something. Because he was training. When I went to GB Top Team, he was sparring.
Oh, was he there? Was
he? Yeah, he was there sparring.
Because he messaged you a week because I posted that picture. First day I went to shoot,
right.
And we were sparring there.
Right, right.
And I tagged him in it. He messaged, "Hope you were," and we had a little chat, wishing him best of luck and stuff. And I didn't realise he was here. So is it with Brad? Is he?
Yeah, right. He's down there. Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think it was an ankle injury, if I remember reading correctly.
Right.
But it'd be good.
James,
just
that's got to have been a cracker.
It would have been. Yeah, it would have been.
That'd
a good
been a cracker.
One. I kind of didn't want to see either of them lose though, so I'm not mad about this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like I always look forward to Gunnar Nelson's fights because he just always has his own take on things, doesn't he?
So there's no Brits on Brits on this, is there? There's no Brits on Brits on this.
No,
card.
No.
Now usually there is, right?
Yeah, usually they do.
Yeah,
that.
And they always are good and all.
Always.
We saw Paul Taylor
the other day, didn't we? Paul Taylor,
yeah,
him and Paul Kelly.
Yeah,
that was a banger of a fight.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some really good all Brit fights, but no, there are none on this card.
Mm.
No. Okay, so we're both going Gunnar Nelson, are we?
Yeah, sub.
Right, well, this next one, Paddy Pimblett against Rodrigo Vargas. So, of course, Paddy's got a massive following, big hype train behind him. He is a very good fighter, very slick with his with his submissions. Won his first fight in the UFC by TKO against Vendramini.
Mm-hmm.
Did get clipped
yep.
and rocked a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vargas is a southpaw boxer. he's relatively one-dimensional in my opinion. And I do think that Paddy is going to be able to... I mean, as long as he doesn't get drawn into a boxing match,
yeah,
I think he can do what he wants.
Yeah, he's massive, isn't he, Paddy, for the way
he is like. Massive.
He's a big old boy.
Did you see that photo of Paul Reed's thing the other day? He looks in wicked shape.
Yeah, I did actually.
Well.
Yeah, on his Insta, yeah, I did see that. Yeah. He's looking a bit more disciplined on the feet for me. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, just going a bit too scrappy and thinking just that danger of getting caught again. Like, say, Vargas,
I was guilty of it against Condit once.
Yeah,
that's the same thing.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Drawn in and he just pulled this hand down and got caught.
But this, the stars are aligned for Paddy here, aren't they?
I think so.
Do you know what I mean? I think I'm pretty confident he'll be getting the job done. Mm. Just keep a little bit safe. Don't get too carried away on the stand-up, you know, risk factor, and then just do you.
Yeah.
Should be probably, right. Yeah, probably what, a sub or a TKO finish, I imagine.
I think he should sub him. I do think he should sub him. My concern with this fight is that he does... It's that hand dropping, and it's southpaw v orthodox.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if Paddy gets drawn into a bit of a scrap and he thinks they're just boxing, Vargas has got a good head kick.
I want to come in the head kick as well.
He might just get caught. Yeah, it was Mike Della Torre before he joined the UFC. He caught him with a head kick. I remember watching that when he's made his debut. Like, the thing is with Vargas, he's a confident boxer, which means that he's going to quite happy to stand in the pocket.
5'8", 36, old man, like us.
36 is not old, Jimmy. What are you, 38?
38 tomorrow.
38 tomorrow?
38 tomorrow.
Fucking hell, happy birthday, Jimmy, tomorrow.
Thank you, mate.
Jesus, I didn't realise that. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
38 tomorrow. 38 mate, I'm 40 tomorrow. This year.
Oh, that's fucked, isn't it?
Isn't
what
it?
Happened, man?
It just went, didn't it? 1 minute someone's punching me in the head, next minute I'm 39. About ready to turn 40. What did happen?
Don't know what happened. Where's it going?
Can't you tell it, Paddy, if you're listening, mate, just enjoy these moments.
Enjoy
they pass.
It, man. Because
they go
me,
so quickly.
They go quick,
right? Yeah, it's very strange. No, it's awesome to watch these young'uns coming up. Like it's just a different sport to when we were there, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So let's have a look at these stats. So 17-3 for Paddy, 12-4 for Vargas. 5'10 for Paddy, 5'8 for Vargas.
Paddy's taller than 5'10.
You reckon, yeah.
I'm 5'10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, that's not being kind either. I remember someone kind of once said I was 5'10 and a half. I'll take an extra half inch.
The UFC always had me down as 6 foot.
I've
never been 6 foot.
Nah, Paddy, you're not 6 foot.
No, 5'11 and a half, technically. 182 centimetres.
Paddy ain't 5'10.
You can't say that though, can you? It sounds like you're reaching. You reckon he's taller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big old boy.
Maybe he's just done his Timberlands on.
I know my posture's shit.
Yeah, but he don't stand up straight. He's always hunched over with his big fucking North Face jacket around his neck.
He's a big boy. I think he's a massive boy.
I tell you what, he gets big, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
He gets big.
Yeah.
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 Fucking, I'm amazed how good shape he's in compared to how big he was a few weeks ago.
Just a great job.
It looked like someone had inflated him when we saw him. Where was it? What event was it?
He was celebrating after his win, weren't he? I seen the pictures going around.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw him. It was like... Was it Cage Warriors? I'm like,
I had a bit of like not being horrible, but we had a bit of a moon face,
yeah,
innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you put on weight real fast after a fight, doesn't it? Remember it happened to Adam? Like, Adam came back to the gym and he's fucking shredded and lean. Look like a fucking pro wrestling action figure, but then he's got a fat face. Like, how the fuck does that happen?
Yeah.
I just get all fat and stay fat.
I think we're still there. Ditto. Snap. That's the age that is, though.
So you reckon, so he's got a 2-inch height advantage at least and a 2-inch reach advantage.
Yeah, it's Paddy all day, man.
You reckon? I reckon he's going to sub him first round.
Yeah.
I reckon he's going to jump on his neck, rear naked choke first round.
Yeah. Be a good entrance as well.
Yeah, it will.
Always a good walkout, isn't it, when Paddy walks
Always. It's going to be bouncing down there. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked.
Yeah, all day, Paddy.
I think so. Okay, co-main event. Kind of don't know how to, like what to think about this one. Yeah. Arnold Allen against Dan Hooker. Arnold Allen 17-1. Dan Hooker is 21-11. But this is Dan Hooker's first fight at featherweight.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He's also traveling all the way around the world to get here from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cutting down a weight class.
Mm.
And he's fighting Arnold Allen on home turf in a co-main event, who's always in good shape.
100%.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, Hooker could come in and be like, okay, 5-round fights are my thing. Yeah. I've got conditioning for days. This is 3 rounds. I'm going to put it on you. Mm. I'm taller. I'm rangier. I've fought against higher level opponents. So what have I got to be worried about?
Yeah.
But then if he has a fucking horrible weight cut, yeah. like if he's travels shit, what is it, 28 hours flying?
Yeah. Been here a week, innit?
Is he here already?
He's been here a week, yeah. He's been here a week already, I think.
Still, you feel foggy. Yeah, I spent a month in Australia.
That's what I got told there. He's here.
Yeah. Where's he training at then? Down in London somewhere?
No.
Spies everywhere.
Silks, I believe. Ronin.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I think so.
So Dan Hooker's 6 foot with a 5-inch reach advantage. Arnold Allen's 5'8", 70-inch reach.
Yeah, listen, it's a little bit of that again, isn't it? Arnold's going to the top and Hooker's on his way down, but on paper.
that's the thing, is he on his way down?
This is what I'm saying.
Or is the moving weight class the right thing
to
do?
Is it going to revitalize him, you know?
I mean, the thing is, like, we might look at him in 3 fights' time and be like,
back in title contention.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's Jimmy Booker, isn't it?
Like, he might be. He's an unknown commodity.
Because,
And then if you look at the guys that, like, he has a win over Hat Parast, he has that split decision win over Felder, Aya Quinta, James Vick. But the guys he's lost to is Barbosa, Poirier, Chandler, and Makhachev.
I think this is probably the hardest fight for the Brits, I do.
I think so, night. Yeah.
I do.
It's just the unknownness of it. That's
where
why.
Is he at?
Yeah.
Where is that? And is he going to come in? Not going to go. He's going to be on it, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
And he ain't on the way. He ain't going down gracefully. He ain't going out the pecking order.
No.
I've had my go. That's it now. Let this young buck walk through me. This is going to be fucking.
He's not in that mindset.
Nah,
at all.
This is.
He's coming,
dropping the weight. We spoke about this earlier. Is that the answer? But we don't know what his reasoning for it.
Yeah.
But if he does it and he does it well, he's here. He's doing it within time. You know, he carries speed, power down with him and
I mean,
range.
He's not particularly quick anyway. That was never an advantage.
Good range,
of him.
Though, isn't it? Good range.
Yeah,
good range management, yeah.
It's range and consistency. Mm. Like, he's got a higher output, 78% takedown defense as well. That's good takedown defense compared to his, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, although when he's taken down once, he's been subbed. So,
I mean, a bit of a sticky one, isn't
it? Yeah, I just don't know.
I mean, I'm going to back Arnold Allen.
Yeah.
I think he can do it. Again, like you're saying, the travel, the weight cut, that doubt over that. Is that the right call? How well is that going to go? How's he going to be at that weight below? The travel and that home advantage to Arnold and that trajectory of going into the top and working his way towards the top in the division, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But Hooker's fantastic. Love watching him fight. And it could be an upset, but I will go for Arnold Allen, though, right? Gotta say Arnold Allen, right?
Well, okay.
You're not sure what you
said. So let me tell you this then. Well, let me tell you this. So he came into the UFC. He was what, 9-4. So he'd already picked up 4 losses in his record anyway. He's always been a bit of a. I mean, I'm saying mine was what, 25-10. I think I was.
Yeah.
Like you just, you know, he's had a few lessons on his way into the UFC. So he joined the UFC 2014, fought Ian Entwistle as a featherweight. Now, as a featherweight, he alternated fights. Win over Entwistle, lost to Blanco by decision. Stopped Haoki, second round, lost to Yair Rodriguez by decision. Guillotined Mark Adiva, lost to Jason Knight by decision. So that was his featherweight career.
That was his featherweight run.
Then he went up to lightweight and he beat Ross, Gicasey, Jim Miller and Gilbert Burns. Stopped all of them. Then he went Barbosa, stopped by a body punch. But that fight was a reckless one. He just kept walking forward even though he was hurt.
Mm.
So I can discount that as him just being hard-headed. And then you look at his other fights, Vic, Aya Quinta and Felder. And that Felder one was a banger.
Mm.
Like Felder was almost done in the first round from those low kicks.
Yeah,
like, he is a fucking really, really good fighter.
He is a beast.
And
he's a beast.
Maybe going back down to featherweight is going to be, you know, he's technically at the right stage now to make that stuff count. Because he was only losing by decision at featherweight before.
Like you say, yeah. It all depends with age and that. You know, some people say we cut weight, the chin can go as well. You know, there's a few.
Well, that's the next thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
He got stopped by a body punch, but every single shot he's taken to the head, he's just fucking eaten them. He's not been TKO'd.
No.
You know? He got stopped by Barbosa, but that was body shot.
Yeah, like, Chandler dropped him on the hook, didn't
that
he?
That was it.
But TKO'd him against the cage.
That was it.
You know, that cross step left up, weren't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, you're right. Sorry,
but he didn't knock him out with the hand. TKO didn't knock him out ever. TKO.
Yeah.
Ground and pound.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, cross step left hook against the cage and then that ground and pound.
Yeah. My concern is that he's going to go down to featherweight. He's going to look fucking really good. And he's going to be able to put his confidence as a big lightweight back into the featherweight division. And like, this is a scenario I can see in the fight. I can see him having a tie clinch and him wailing knees on Arnold Allen and Arnold Allen smashing him in the body with hooks. Mm. And I can see one of them getting caught by the other one. I can see Arnold smashing him in the body and taking the wind out of him because he's had a bad weight cut. Or I can see Dan Hooker being real strong and overbearing because he's taller and being able to pull him down to one of those knees.
Lift them knees up to the ceiling.
Yeah. It is a rough one. It's a really rough one. I'm going to take Arnold Allen because my concern over Dan Hooker traveling and weight cutting.
If Arnold wrestles a bit, fatigues him, slows him down, that sort of game, innit?
Mm-hmm.
The up and down.
Might have an effect, kind of, what GSP did to BJ Penn.
Not really. It wasn't really trying to get a takedown, was it?
Just time up against the fence, head position, risk
make
control.
Make him split hard, make him pull you up on the whizzer, let that lactate take effect.
Yeah.
I think that's the one I'm most excited for, you know.
Yeah, I am.
On the card, I think that's the best fight of the night.
Mm.
Really, really do. I think it's absolutely going to be fireworks.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think that's great. Great fight. I'm sticking with Arnold Allen, but a big fan of Hooker, and obviously we want the bits to win, but it'd be great to see Hooker win as well, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? To revitalise his career.
I'm just a big fan of his.
He's
fun to watch.
Entertaining.
Always game.
But I think, hope Arnold does it and think Arnold can do it because it's nice to see these Brits getting to the top of the division, isn't it? He can certainly do
for
it.
For sure. Mm. You know, this is a big moment for Arnold Allen as well.
This is the one, I think, and then he's going to gain some momentum and he'll take it where it's going to go after this one, isn't it? This is the one.
That's it.
This is
he's about ready for headlining after this, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where is he in the rankings?
I had it up a second ago.
Have a quick look. Like, the thing with Arnold is he's a bit like Leon. He doesn't say much.
And
that's the Arnold Allen 7th at the moment.
He's on his top origin, he's 9th,
7th. Yeah, I'm on UFC rankings.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's 7th at the moment.
And where's Hooker?
Well, Hooker's ranked currently at 8 in the lightweight division. He's not ranked as a featherweight.
Okay.
But then, like, you could, like, I mean, think he...
Arnold's cheeky on the mic, isn't he? He should get on that mic more.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he is. He's very understated.
He's getting a bit more vocal, doesn't he?
He does.
He's a likeable character, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got some good little quips and stuff, but he just doesn't... He doesn't speak very loudly, you know what I mean? He doesn't, like, project very much. He kind of talks under his voice a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want him to, like, broadcast a bit more. But maybe that's one of the qualities that's likable about him, you know?
Yeah.
He is, like, fucking benching squats in the back garden with his dad and his brother.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? That's who he is. We've got a documentary on the channel about him, actually. It's a good little documentary just about him training and his background. His dad's a fucking tank.
Yeah, maybe saying about his dad that quoted after a fight. Yeah, funny.
About passing drug tests. He does take all the steroids.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Arnold's going to do it because I think Dan Hooker's going to struggle with the travel and the weight cut. But if he shows up and he looks shit up fight week, they do an open workout and he's cracking pads.
Yeah.
I might be sitting back on the fence. I'd like to see Arnold do it because I think it's time for him to have his moment.
Shine.
Yeah.
Time to shine.
He'd be 18-1 then, you know?
It's big.
He'd be 18-1. They'd probably move him up in the division even just based
top
on the
five,
fact that he's
what?
Won. I mean, his next fight's going to be someone like a Korean Zombie or a Brian Ortega, you know? Could be winnable fights for him.
Yeah. Two away from a title, isn't he?
Yeah.
Two away from a title. Listen, one more title.
Yeah.
Realistically.
It's exciting.
A lot of pressure on a human's shoulders.
Definitely. Flying under the radar, though, isn't he, a bit?
A little bit.
That might have helped him.
A little bit, yeah. Mm. Yeah, big night for him.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah massive.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Main event time. Alexander Volkov against Tom Aspinall. Mm. And I will say that we are recording this on Sunday, at the beginning of fight week. So as of right now, this fight is still together. I do know, from my sources, that Martin Tabora is on standby, just in case they need a new main event.
Yeah.
Okay, from a NATO country, clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fucking hell is going on in the world?
World's mad.
It's madness, isn't it?
Madness.
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 We've had a boy from the gym head over there, haven't we? We won't mention his name.
I think so, yeah.
We won't mention his name, but yeah, we've had we've had someone join the Ukrainian Foreign Legion.
Mm.
He's an animal anyway, he'll be fine. He'll be biting people's noses off.
Getting a bazooka.
Okay, right. Volkov against Tom Aspinall.
Mm.
Tough, tough fight for Tom Aspinall. So 34-9 for Volkov. 11-2 for Aspinall, which is a massive, massive difference.
Five round main event.
Five round main event. We had a look through this, didn't we? So this is the first time that Aspinall's fought five rounds.
And the fifth or something.
Yeah.
Like, three wins in five rounds, was it? Or for Volkov. He's done it.
He's lost his last couple in over five rounds. Yeah. So we've got...
But he's done it a few times in the UFC, right?
He has. Yeah. So Gan was five rounds, but he lost that decision. Blades was five rounds.
Ganny.
Gane.
Cyril. Yeah.
Yeah, so he lost to Gane over five rounds. He lost to Blades over five rounds. Mm. But he did stop Vadum in London in the fourth.
I think we've got some of that blood
on. Got some of that canvas at the gym.
Blood in the gym.
Yeah. People, every time I do my breakdown show, someone in the comments is like, mate, there's someone spared shit on your wall.
Oh. yeah, no shit.
They'll say, I was kept wiping my phone because I thought my screen was dirty. Yeah. So, I don't know. You can't tell it's a canvas. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So he has had a few five rounders.
Mm.
He has defended belts. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the fighter Rich Hale, but he won the Bellator heavyweight tournament final over five rounds. That was back in 2012. He's just been doing it a long time.
Long time.
He's probably got some common opponents with you, actually.
What, being heavyweight?
Yeah, you were heavyweight back in the day, weren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't know this, do you? Jimmy Warled won his first fight by heavyweight. It was your first pro MMA, right?
Yep.
Heavyweight. What was his name? Steve?
Matthews.
That was it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Full of skill.
When was
calm, cool, calm, collective. Very skillful fighter back then, I was.
Mate, fucking face barred him standing. Standing face bar, I love it. Honestly, it's one of my favorite finishes because I'd fought on the same card.
It's horrific, Dan. Don't
it was? No, it's brilliant. I ain't got it. I can't pull it up.
Good,
Steve Matthews. Cage Warriors Quest 1.
Terrible.
That's when it was.
Yeah.
Cage Warriors Quest 1, April 8th, 2005, Sheffield, England.
17 years ago,
mate. Yeah, and we were the only two. We were the only two pro fights on the card.
Right.
All the other fights on the card were amateur.
Right.
So you were at heavyweight against Steve Matthews. It says here rear naked choke. That was not a rear naked choke.
I think it was a very technical rear naked. I think it was a very technical rear naked choke. I think my black belt skill came out.
Mate, so the poor guy was fucking, what was he? 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, he was
a big
boy.
He was a big dude.
He was a big boy. He wasn't very good though.
He wasn't great, no.
But yeah.
But what did you do? Did you inside low kick him or something? Anyway,
I remember
he was
like
on
a handbag
knees.
From back here. Tongue was out.
Of course it was.
Feet off the floor. Swung that shit.
Oh, honestly.
Missed.
The photo that I remember seeing of it is Steve Matthews on his knees, like standing up on his knees, and you're just face barring him, and you're just standing behind him like that, fucking cranking his face.
Yeah. Horrific, man. It's embarrassing. Man.
And I fought Andy Walker on that card.
Yeah.
Those tricks into taking a fight against a mate on that one.
We had some... good nights on that quest.
We did, yeah.
Sammy Berry up there, Danny Rushton as well.
Danny
Rushton. Some good nights up there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Still smoking at ringside.
Hey?
Still smoking at cage side, yeah. Smoke everywhere, yeah.
Crazy.
Smoking at we're fucking old, man.
Mate,
what's that?
We are. I fought for a Thai boxing world title in that arena.
I didn't come to it, but I remember you doing it. Yeah, I remember you doing
fucking
it.
Fucking called me up like day before the event.
24 hours before, he went up, and he was top, like, top boy, wasn't he?
Yeah. They were oh, he's just sold a bunch of tickets. You know, it's like an exhibition match.
Yeah, you played it down to you, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I got there and it was a fucking main event for the world
main
title.
Main event for world title.
Never saw him weigh in. He was fucking good, wasn't he? Medi.
I didn't watch it. I didn't come up, did I? But
fucking banger. Five rounder. Broke my nose.
Dropped you early. Did he drop you? Yeah. An elbow or something? Or a knee or something?
I dropped him twice. He dropped me three times.
I remember
times.
It was back and forth. Lost the decision, right?
Yeah, I did. Good fight, though. Good fight. I've got it on video somewhere.
I remember you coming back with a big smile. Hey, you had a great time.
Yeah, it was a lovely time.
Loved it.
Fucking big swollen nose. Good times. Okay, we digressed a little bit.
Yeah, we drifted then.
What do you reckon? the point that we're making, I guess, in the long run is that Volkov's got fucking loads of experience.
Loads and loads of experience. The five rounds, the length.
Made his debut in 2009.
Again, he ain't on his way down, is he? But Aspinall's on his way up, for sure.
I feel like Volkov's one of those kind of... He's a bit of an Alistair Overeem kind of fighter. Like, he's good enough to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you could quite easily see him having...
It could be a bad night.
It could be.
It could be a
long, rough night. Because the thing is with Volkov is he's very good at keeping distance and keeping a nice steady pace.
Mm.
With Gan was too quick for him in and out, never engaged him.
Yeah.
Right? But then if you look at, like, say when he stopped Walt Harris, he was trapping him against the fence, but still making him feel like he was a long way away. He's very good at fighting tall. So, like, working the body with that front kick and like...
Aspinall's fast, though, isn't he? He's fast as well.
This is the thing. Good feet, very, very
good
quick.
Movement.
I think Aspinall's going to knock him out.
Yeah.
I do. And I mean, it's just, like, you go back to the Derek Lewis fight. Like Volkov won the first two rounds, like, outpointed him comfortably, and he was cruising in the third round, and Derek Lewis just went foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. Done. If Aspinall puts it, I mean, his hands are lightning, isn't they? He puts it all together, again, gets him thinking about the takedown.
Yeah.
Up and down, mate. Put him on the back foot. Don't let him put you back and plod and keep you long in it, up against the cage, being awkward like he did with like Harris, like you said, innit? Don't let that happen. Get your break on, retake the center, stay twitchy, push him back, parry the, you know, clear the kicks, counter strike, wrestling him up and down.
Yeah. See, that's a concern of mine, is him clearing the kicks.
What, reaching a bit? What, coming
out? Because I do think they're going to bother him.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, Volkov, he's very kind of, like, he's very good kind of flicking that high kick from like a question mark kick. And if he notices that Aspinall's trying to pressure forward and that kick's bothering him and he's starting to sweep it.
He's just got to, Aspinall's got to be here.
Change his line.
Got to be here. He's got to be constantly changing line and edging that front foot on in the process, or crossing his feet to get to him quick to cover that range advantage, innit?
Yeah. What do you do if you're Aspinall and you knock him down? Do you wait and let him stand up, or do you run into his guard and try and finish?
How sharp is Volkov's guard?
He's got some triangles. I mean, he's got a couple of rear naked choke finishes.
Just make sure you're passing, innit? Just make sure you're passing control. Stack him up on his shoulders. Punch hard through setting that guard. Make sure you're passing to side, innit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, backstroke, clear them ankles, get to side control.
Yep.
Knee on belly, elbows facing, or get to mount and work from there, innit?
So Aspinall's got a couple of losses on his record. Has he been subbed? Heel hook early on. Bama 21. You must have been on that card, eh? 2015?
Bama 21. Where's that?
Birmingham.
His first loss. Still, I was saying, Stu Austin. Birmingham. Used to do brother with his...
Mike Grundy was on
judo
that card
with his
well.
Brother.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, Lahore. No, Devant. Cohen. Eh? No, I don't think I was on that one. No, I wasn't on that one.
No.
That was after me, mate.
Was it? Yeah.
That was after my little Bama stint. Live on Channel 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, Austin, yeah.
So that's a heel hook loss. I don't think he's... Yeah, yeah, I mean...
A long time ago.
It is a while ago. I mean, Tom's a good grappler. It's going to be all about catching him with that big shot over the top. He has been training with some taller guys as well. I saw he's brought in a really tall kickboxer to spar with.
Yeah.
So he's clearly...
he's going to come in super prepared for it.
Yeah. Again, 5 rounds though, isn't it? That's the question.
Yeah. Opportunity is knocking. He ain't far away, is he?
I'll tell you what we need to drop in here is that the leg break. You didn't see it, did you?
Oh, no. You said
Bukachu.
No.
Oh, man. It was bad.
I think I did it at the time. I can't remember because I've got CTE.
Rough to what? Yeah, we'll drop it. Let's put a disclaimer in. Right now, we're going to show you this clip. If you don't like leg breaks, then turn away right now. But this was a clip that Jamie got from outside of the cage at Cage Warriors in Tom Aspinall's second-to-last fight before he joined the UFC. First round, Bukachu threw a kick. Aspinall shin checked it and just.
This went Jamie vomited in his mouth.
Obliterated. Sick in his mouth. Yeah. All down the back of the camera. Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Bad. He's a very, very good fighter, Tom Aspinall. Mm. There's a massive experience disadvantage here. And my question is, what happens when it's third round, fourth round, fifth round?
This is the question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is it, yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, the thing is, if you listen to Aspinall, the way he talks is it's like, I want that test.
Yeah, yeah.
I need someone to try and push me because he's running through guys.
Yeah, he's on his way to the top, isn't he? For sure. And it's
only been Arlovski that's been able to push me into the second round in the UFC.
Yeah. I think why though?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the experience.
Because the experience.
Because the experience, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when he thought, fuck it, and just went for it, he walked through him in that. When he got a finish in that fight, didn't he?
Yeah. just jumped, just blasted him into the fence. I mean,
if he goes out with that and just goes after Volkov, innit, he might could put him away early, maybe.
He could. He could.
Got some power in his hands, man.
He has.
Why's my torch on? Put my torch on.
Oh, I know. I'm going with Aspinall, quite obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
I think he's going to stop him. I think it's going to be a wicked night for him. I think he's going to catch him with a big overhand, knock him down, TKO him up against the fence.
If it happens. Otherwise, he'll
be fighting Marcin Tybura.
And he'll batter him.
Which is an equally tough fight, not quite as belly rumbling.
Sorry about my belly.
It's all right, mate. We're wrapping now. You can go and get some food.
I'm sure
V's got... You talk about hot dog.
Hot dog in a dump and I'll be sad.
What's your hot dog obsession?
I like things like that shape, innit?
I thought you'd be going Greg's or something.
Nah, man.
I'll tell you what.
I'm on a diet, man. I've been good. My belly's rumbling because I had a cheat meal last night. I had Chinese. My mum gave me a birthday cake. What else? Like Singapore fried rice, chicken curry, shredded beef, salt and chilli chips.
Lovely. Very nice.
Lovely. But no, I don't want to agree to sponsorship. I'm too fat, man.
You say that, but... I'll have it, Greg's.
Go on.
Yeah, but honestly, you ask any of the boys down the gym, you're like, okay, what's your ideal sponsor? They're like, Greg's.
Yeah, Greg's. Greg's. You know, he sponsored Team Roughhouse. You're missing out.
You never know who's going to be listening to the podcast. If Greg's has a head office.
Yeah.
Smells like sausage rolls all day, imagine.
I'd love to work there.
Yeah, would you? You'd be massive.
I'd be massive. Massive-er. Even massive-er.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good card. What's your pick for Fight of the Night?
Fight of the Night. I think it could be Alan Hookey, you know.
You reckon, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. So Three-round banger. Bloody one.
Let me have one quick glance.
Yeah, here's the card.
Yeah. Oh, my belly, man.
Oh, mate. You need a hot dog. What do you reckon?
Krylov could be good, innit?
Yeah, it could be. Mm. Unless Paul Craig's got some confidence in his striking, it might be a bit one-sided on the feet.
Wood could be explosive. Wood, he's always.
Yeah.
I think Jack Shaw keep disciplining to make it too much of a barn burner.
I hope he does.
McCann will get the crowd on the feet. I think Grundy and McCarney would be fun.
Yeah.
Again, Makhachev, I think he's too disciplined to make it too crazy. Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Craig Krylov, maybe. Pimlet will be excited while it lasts.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to sub him. Yeah.
But I think Arnold Allen Hooker, Fight of the Night.
Yeah, good pick.
I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon so. That's a good pick. Fight of the Night, be a banger.
Yeah.
UFC London, love it, always. Mm. Right, quick shout out to the sponsors, Unbound Merino, unboundmerino.com, and the code is Outlaw, and you get 15% off. And if you spend over $100, you will get free shipping in North America. And our other sponsor is Xbrain, xbrain.co.uk. If you use the code Outlaw, you'll get 20% off, and that is all Onnit supplements, all Xbrain supplements, the Neuroptimax supplements. There's loads and loads of stuff on there. Any proteins that you need, you're on it.
Really good. And if you get itchy bummer with beta-alanine, don't worry, because my arsehole was really good.
Is it all right?
It feels right. Like for a second, I had a little bit of itchy cheek.
Yeah.
I felt like I was red, but my arsehole never got itchy. This is a real good product.
That was just nerves because you
didn't
have research.
I'm going to ask for some more of this. Yeah.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
It's good stuff.
I use the pre-workout every day.
Rate it.
Bit of creatine.
I feel like I'm really buzzing.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Nice one, Jimmy.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Catch you next time.
Thank you.